What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. This is Real Reality Realness with Brian K. James, the podcast where I, your host Brian, interview figures in music, reality TV, and pop culture about their lives, their perspectives, and their platforms. Join me 5 days a week as I get to know some of my favorite people through their points of view and their journeys to their personal greatness. Lock in while I clock in, because we are about to get into it. Alrighty, welcome and welcome back to the show. This is Real Reality Realness. I am Brian K. James, and I put the mess in the message. I am so excited to have this person on the show today. They are an incredible drag artist who you may remember from season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I cannot wait to get to know them better. Ladies, gentlemen, and every gender or lack thereof in between, join me in welcoming to the show, Orion Story.
Wow, what an intro.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for making some space for me in your schedule and for taking my call today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I am just honored to be here.
It means the world to me. What are you most looking forward to from 2023?
Honestly, what I'm looking forward most to, I'm in the process of moving right now, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. And you know, I have recently sold my soul to the devil, which means for any entertainer, when they do that, they have to move to a big city. So I'm moving to Chicago.
Congrats!
That's my next big venture. I've been kind of like, I've still been on the road a lot, but I've slowed it down a little bit because I'm like, I don't want to overdo myself while I'm trying to move. So my brain has been very smooth lately. I have a show at Soaring Eagle Casino tonight, and I thought it was yesterday. So I drove an hour and a half all the way to Mount Pleasant last night, only to find out when I got there that it was tonight.
Talk about being punctual. My goodness.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, if you're a queen is, I don't know what they say, something about being early.
Being early is great, long story short.
Absolutely. Yes, short story.
What do you most look forward to leaving behind in 2022?
Negative energy.
I love
and
that.
And negative people.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Including myself, because I feel like, you know, there have been a lot of times, especially last year, where I was not always the nicest person myself. So we're going to go into 2023 with an amazing attitude. We're going to push ourselves. We're going to work harder. We're going to make lots of money, and we're going to make lots of fans, and we're going to enjoy life.
I absolutely love that. Great perspective. Now, if I were to ask you, who is Orion Story, what would you say?
Definitely not three children in a trench coat. I would say I'm an artist. 100%. I really feed off of energy. I am a medical mystery. I am,
love that,
me. And it's really hard for me to put into words per se, because I feel like I'm always changing and I'm always evolving. So I guess that's what I'll say. I'll say I'm forever changing.
totally love that. So, when did you discover drag?
I mean, I grew up with it. I remember watching RuPaul back in the old MTV days growing up when I was like 5. Like, I have always, I guess, kind of been around it. I remember when I was really little, I would put t-shirts on my head and they were like my wigs. And I would go into my room when I would learn all of the Britney Spears and the NSYNC choreography. And then I would put on shows for my family. So I guess it's just kind of always been a part of me.
I love that. If you weren't a gay that was doing Britney and Janet choreography wearing wigs made from your bath towels, like, were you really gay?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's just a rite of passage.
I was literally about to say the same thing. I was like, it's a rite of passage. Like, it doesn't count if you didn't do that as a child.
I still do it to this day. I have never stopped.
And now you make lovely, lovely money from it.
I try, yes.
I absolutely love that. So when you discovered like drag as an art form, was it something that you instantly wanted to pursue, or did it come later on in life?
No, actually, I always knew that I was gonna be famous for something. I didn't know what exactly, because it changed, you know, for years. I, you know, originally wanted to, you know, be an actor or a director, and then I wanted to get into music. I was going to school for audio engineering. And I remember I started watching Drag Race season 4. That's the first season that I watched and went back and watched the other ones. But I remember like being in my room on those sketchy third-party websites trying to stream it, and that was kind of like my full introduction to drag, I guess. And I remember I used to watch it with my mom all the time, and it was never really something that I saw myself doing like officially. I mean, when I was in my teens, like 15, 16, I was kind of dabbling in it. Like, I would make my own costumes, and I'd buy like Party City wigs and like mess with them. So it just kind of like was always a thing that I was doing, and I didn't realize it, you know? So then I remember like my mom would say, oh, I could see you doing something like that, whatever. You know, and I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then she passed away back in 2016, and I started doing drag officially like 3 years ago. I started in 2019, and it kind of started off as like a healing thing for me, and then I just realized like apparently how good I was at it. And you know, it's never really been a reason for me to, you know, chase a bag, or, you know, oh, it's a trend, so let me hop on it, you know. It was an outlet for me to make art in all these different ways, you know. So I always like to experiment and, you know, try different outlets and avenues with my art. And it was a perfect way for me to do that in so many different ways. And honestly, my drag career has been very quick, very fast. You know, I'm still very new at it, but I started doing drag in I think it was like a few months in, I won Drag Queen of the Year. And I was like traveling already, and I was going, you know, out of state and winning all these competitions. And then COVID happened, and I didn't really do drag for almost the entirety of 2020. And I quit. I was a trainer at Amazon. I quit my job And 2 days later, they announced the auditions for Drag Race. So I was like, you know, it's perfect timing. I set my tape in and I got it.
Wow. You know, some people would consider that to be a meteoric rise, which I in part agree with, but that's not a bad thing. I think that, you know, when a path is laid out for somebody, it's laid out for somebody. And it was clearly meant that it meant that this is what you were supposed to be doing. It's like the stars aligned for you to be in position to put that tape in.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a very firm believer in everything not only happening for a reason, but everything kind of falling into place the way that it should. Sure. And, you know, that's, you know, with the good and the bad, obviously. But it happens very quickly. And it's still happening very quickly. You know, when I got on Drag Race, I had like 5 costumes. I had nothing. I was broke. I was moving out of my apartment. Like, I went to Drag Race pretty much homeless. like, I had nothing. And was also like not in the best headspace when I got there. So like, I definitely see like this journey for myself, you know, this like path written out. It's like I can see it. And I mean, I did see a psychic once, and she said that I was psychic, but I'm not gonna dwindle on that. But I've always seen like the path for me, you know. And I think everyone has their own destiny, but it's kind of just up to you to find it.
For sure. I love that. So with your rise and your path to success being what some would consider to be overnight or very quickly, big air quotes on that, how long did it take you to fully realize the Orion aesthetic?
I feel like I'm still figuring it out. You know, it's like I said, it's always changing. I don't ever really like to limit myself. You know, I obviously, like, I know who I am, you know, and I know my brand for sure. But I think especially lately, I've really been kind of at this turning point for myself where, you know, I've not been super active on social media. You know, I've been kind of like not taking a break, so to speak, but kind of like stepping back for a minute, because I talked to this really amazing queen in Detroit, D'Angela. She works at Gigi's, and she gave me some really, really great advice. It was like exactly what I needed to hear. That, you know, I think with Drag Race, it's like I got off and then everyone's like, you got to keep the momentum going. You got to pump this out and do this and this and this and keep it going. And I was like, I need a second, you know, like I need a second to breathe and like, you know, gather myself. And it's okay to do that. You know, it's okay to take some time for yourself. You know, it's like the fans are always going to be there. You know, drag is always going to be there. It's okay to take time for yourself. And that's kind of what I had been doing, you know, the past couple months, so that, you know, I can work on myself outside of drag a little bit too. And I'm also, you know, have this plan for myself that once I move, it'll be easier for me to really go all out for it. But yeah,
I completely feel you on that. What do you think contributed to that need for a break most? Because you spoke to coming into the competition with, you know, a really wild headspace and a really wild type of, you know, circumstance going back home. Do you think that what contributed to this necessary break for you was more so how you came into the competition or the competition itself weighing on you? Or both?
I think going in, the competition didn't really bother me too much. I guess the only thing really about the competition that really got to me is that I knew that I could have pushed myself harder. But as far as like the show and the competition itself, like, you know, I never really got in my head about the show or, you know, the challenges or whatever. But I don't think I even allowed myself to even think about it, you know? And that was kind of my issue, was I didn't have my head in the game, you know? And which is weird, because, you know, I've always been very competitive, but competitive, like, I guess with myself and not really with others, because I never see myself in competition with others, because I feel like, not that I feel like I'm better than anyone else, but I feel like I'm in like my own like kind of category, you know? Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I always just kind of feel like I'm competing to be the best of myself, and I didn't feel like I did that on Drag Race. But, you know, that was, I think, a lesson for me to learn. Like I said, everything happens for a reason. So it was, I think, a way for me to sit back and say, you know what? I wasn't pushing myself hard enough, and that's what I need to do.
Do you think it took Drag Race for you to realize that? Or do you think that it was something that you realized going in, it was like, oh, in this situation, I wasn't in the best place to compete on this season because of what I had coming into the competition?
I think it was after the fact. I didn't think about it while I was there, but I think once the show ended and it was all done, I think was when I was able to look at it and realize a lot of it, I guess. I, you know, watching the show back and doing the viewing parties and everything, I didn't feel like I related to myself at all. Mm-hmm. And watching it, you know, in front of an audience of people and, you know, talking about the show, like, it was kind of hard, because it was like, I just didn't feel very comfortable, and not like an insecure, like, oh, like, oh, I did so bad or whatever. It was like, I didn't feel like I related to the person that I saw, and like, I know what happened and I was there, you know, and I remember it, but like, it just feels like a fever dream.
Do you think it was more so of like, because you weren't in the proper space to really compete at your highest level, that you didn't necessarily, you know, you weren't really as present as you could have been for the experience. So the person that you watched on the show, you really didn't recognize. So it was knowing all of the things that led into you going into the show and not really articulating that, you know, to the people watching. It's like, oh
absolutely.
Do you think that was like the thing? It was like, well, you know, I don't recognize myself, because the person who came into the show was like a shell of myself. It wasn't me at my maximum potential. So that's not really the Orion that I know.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's like, I think, like I said, it was an opportunity for me to kind of look back at myself. I think sometimes it's important to look at yourself in the third person, because sometimes the way that you see things aren't the way that other people see things. And that's, you know, not just with TV, but like, I think the way that we perceive ourselves is not the same way that everyone else in the world perceives us. And I think when you have that third party perspective, it's easier to look and say, oh, I get it, you know, especially with, in regard to like the judges' critiques and like, you know, why when I was there, I was just kind of like, I felt like they were like coming for me for no reason. Like, I was like, I didn't deserve to be in the bottom for this or whatever. And like, watching it back, it's like, oh, I get it, you know. And but, you know, it's like also great, because I feel like now I can really enjoy my experience now. It's like, I've had that grieving phase of, you know, like losing Drag Race, and now it's like, I can enjoy it, you know. And I did enjoy it while I was there. I had the most amazing time, and everyone on set is absolutely amazing. You know, everyone at World of Wonder and the Drag Race production, all of the producers and everything, they've been so sweet and so amazing to me and encouraging. And it's been like a life-changing experience, you know, because it's like, now, you know, we've realized, you know, the negative, and like there's so much that's like, okay, well, yeah, we're over that now, and like, let's enjoy it, this ride. You know, I've traveled the world, I've been on, you know, the cover of magazines, I've got to do so many things that, like, I mean, if you would have asked me 2 years ago if I would be doing all this stuff, like, I say yes, but maybe not as soon as I would have thought, you know.
Absolutely. Speak to the complication of dealing with that third party perception. You were saying how you didn't really realize you were a shell of yourself in the competition until after the fact, and then having to speak to, you know, the people you were watching this show with in real time kind of complicated your perception of yourself in the show. Do you think that the hard part about explaining your presence on the show to the audience came from you not wanting to bring up all the things that you were going through going into the competition for fear of people thinking you were making excuses? Or was it like, how do I, you know, take full control of what I presented on the show and still, you know, make the most of it? Like, what were the complexities in that?
I think it was about the perspective for me, because, I mean, it was never, I don't want to make excuses or whatever, but, like, I think for me, at least the way that I was processing it was, like, you know, I didn't want to just talk about, like, you know, like the negative, because I didn't want to like only focus on that, you know, like I didn't want to just, I guess, harbor on, you know, like how I was feeling as opposed to like how I was now feeling, like when I was doing the viewing parties and stuff, like, and watching it, it was like I felt completely different, you know, and I was like, I want to, you know, kind of, you know, watch this episode back and talk about it from a different perspective than when I was there, you know. And so I was kind of, I was just changing my perception a little bit, you know, and when I was there, I was really just kind of like irritated, because I, you know, could see some of the bullshit, and I was like just dwelling on that, I think. And you know, it's like, it's TV, you know, it is what it is, but there's always opportunities to go back and you know, get redemptions, and you know, it's, the story is never finished.
It never is, especially when it comes to Drag Race. Shout out to Juju D, God bless you, girl. The perpetual Drag Race contestant. I love that for her. I, you know, it's crazy. When knowing that this platform is so huge, and like knowing what you were getting into, and having the distractions of your circumstances going into the show, what were your intentions going into the show? Like, what did you want us as an audience to receive from Orion's story?
Say that again. It cut off. The end of it cut off a little bit.
Sorry about that. I almost just saying, you know, going into the show, when you signed on and you knew that you were walking in, what did you want the audience to receive from Orion's story? What were you coming in looking to show the world?
Honestly, I don't know if I really even thought about how I wanted people to perceive me, because it was, I guess, never really about that. You know, it was, I've always, I guess, just, and I've been better about it lately, but I was always kind of in my own little world. And it was more, I have this opportunity. Let me use this opportunity to showcase the art that I love and showcase the art that I worked so hard on, you know, because I take my art very seriously, and that was one of the things is I worked very, very hard, and I wanted to show that, and I wanted to, I guess, you know, prove, not just to everyone else, but I guess to myself, you know, like, I deserve to be here, you know. I got on my first time, and when I sent my audition tape in, like, I knew I was gonna get on. I had no questions about it, you know. And I think that's kind of just the attitude that you have to have. I think it was just in life in general, you know, it's like the way that I feel about myself is the way that I want everyone to feel about themselves, you know. So I'm very conceited, but it's okay to be conceited, you know. It's okay to love yourself and want to love, I guess, every part of yourself, you know, physical and mental and everything that you put into it.
Absolutely. I feel like to be a good entertainer, there has to be a certain level of narcissism.
And delusion.
Yes.
You have to be a little delusional.
Like, you have to believe that you're Beyonce's mother at all times. Like, you have to believe that you're the greatest entertainer of all time, because why not? You can't be Beyonce, but you can birth Beyonce. Why? Because I can. I am that girl. Like, you have to believe that at all times for it to work, because especially with drag.
Oh, yes. Is
all about the absurdity of presentation, right? So in order for you to walk out looking like a caricature of a human being, and for people to believe it, you have to believe, like, yes, I am the full fish, I am Marilyn Monroe, I am Josephine Baker, and you will own it, and you will love for it, and you will tip me accordingly. Thank you.
And I think that's the thing that a lot of people, you know, I have a lot of people that inquire to me about, you know, oh, I want to audition for Drag Race, like, what's your advice? Or, you know, like, I have a lot of people come up and say, like, you know, I think I want to audition for Drag Race, but I don't think I'm going to get on. And then I say, well, then you're not going to.
Right.
If you don't think that you can do it, then why is a team of casting people going to believe it? You know, like, you have to not just think of the delusion, but you have to believe it, you know? You've got to convince yourself that it's true, that you're the shit, you know? That's what they want to see. And I think that's just in general the way that you should be. You should be very confident. You should, you know, be very sure of yourself. And when people, you know, compliment you and say, like, oh, I really love this, you should say, it is good. Thank you. I've worked very hard on it, you know?
Absolutely. Now, what do you take away from the reception of the audience of Orion's Story versus your own perception of your time on the show now that the show is aired? How do those two things compare to each other?
Well, I guess it's hard for me to say, because I think, you know, it's at least from what I've seen, I've gotten a lot of love. I mean, obviously there's going to be people who don't like you. That's just what it is. But I especially during the season, you know, like, I never got any hate messages. I still to this day, I get so much fan art, and I get letters and, you know, people recreating makeup looks, and like, especially at DragCon, when I get to actually meet the fans and meet the fans of the shows, and they've all been really sweet. And I think if anything, I'm my own biggest critic. So sometimes I'm a little hard on myself, you know, if like one little detail's off, or, you know, and everyone's like, oh my God, I loved it. And I think it's made it a little easier for me to say, you know what, it is great. You know what, maybe that little detail doesn't matter. I mean, as far as, you know, it, like, how I feel about it being, you know, like, oh, that, hey, there's one little strand of hair is out of place. It doesn't matter. You know, it's still the, you know, same thing. And
sure, that was going to be my next question. I was going to ask, do you feel like the love that you received and the support that you received from the audience kind of helped you circumvent the feelings that you had about your own presentation on the show? Because regardless of all of the things that you felt were wrong on your time on the show, you still got this immense amount of love from it. Do you think that helped you at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would... you know, because I think it's, you know, I have this kind of, I guess, perception of, you know, going in of what it would be like to be in the spotlight and like, but I think as much as you can plan for it, you never can really get the full extent of what it's actually like until it happens. And it's a lot. It's very overwhelming, and you know, not just in a negative sense, but a positive as well. You know, it's very crazy, especially like a platform like Drag Race. It's like one of the biggest shows on TV. You know, like I gotta walk the Emmys red carpet and do all of these really crazy things, and it's kind of overwhelming, like I said, but it's also very gratifying.
That's incredible. I love that. I absolutely love that.
You know, and you can make anything happen. You can do anything if you put your mind to it and you work really hard.
For sure. When it comes to your castmates and your sisters from your season, what percentage of the girls would you say are your actual friends in real life versus girls that you just happen to make a great show with?
I think we're all pretty cool with each other. I wouldn't say that we are all like the closest friends, but I would say we're all friends. You know, I every once in a while we'll check up on everybody, send them a little text and message, and we always comment on each other's stuff. I think our season is at least probably one of the very few where we all got along. Mm-hmm. And that was the issue on the show, is they were the producers were getting mad because we weren't fighting. We were just like, you know, we were all cool with each other. So they were really, they were really pushing it on us. And, you know, we still are. We're still really cool. You know, I have a couple that I talk to regularly, but, you know, we're all busy. We all, you know, are making something of ourselves and we're, you know, working. You know, our season was, it feels like it just finished yesterday, you know, so we still have all of these wonderful opportunities and I feel like we're all growing and I'm really proud of everybody. You know, I, even the girls that I'm not, I wouldn't say super, super close with, like it's more than just a mutual respect. It's a, you know, it's a, like, it's the deep bond that lasts forever, or I don't know, something like that.
Sisterhood of the traveling wig or something like that.
Kind of. Well, I mean, I will say, I did give everyone a wig when I left, when I was eliminated, but it was mostly just to make room for all this shit that I stole on set.
So classy. Love that for you.
Well, hey, my NDA is up, so I can say whatever.
We love that. So classy.
Hey, I took a sewing machine and I use it every single day. It's lovely. And then if I'm not getting $100,000, I will reclaim my time.
Period. And my costumes. Don't play with me.
Yes.
Now, speaking of the RuPaul's Drag Race sewing machines. I think that's what's gagging me most of anything, because it's like there's a notorious rumor that those sewing machines are literally from when RuPaul started doing drag in the 80s.
They are ancient, but a lot of the tools that they have, the scissors are awful, they're dull. But I will say that the sewing machine that I have is great, and I've replaced a few things on it, but it's a really nice sewing machine. It's a heavy duty Singer, so it was better than the one I had before, so I'm not complaining at all.
Explain to me how you slipped this whole sewing machine in your purse and walked out.
I put it in my carry-on.
You bet.
I was running to the airport with this heavy-ass sewing machine.
Like, how did you, one, get off of the filming lot with an entire sewing machine and then get through TSA at the airport? Like, what was the TSA agent like when it came through the thing and it was like a whole sewing machine?
They didn't say anything. It went through. So I was like, okay.
Were they just like, we don't have time for this today?
That's just usually how they are at TSA, because I've had a lot of things go through. I've had my pepper spray go through TSA. I've had my weed pens go through TSA. Like, they don't care. They could give a rat's ass what happens.
I love that. They're like, child, you're fine. Who puts a bomb in a sewing machine? You're fine. Don't hit.
Right.
Going on about your business, child.
The only thing they care about is liquid, so I'm like, I guess go for it, but you know, like, God forbid I bring a sewing machine through.
Like, how much damage can I really do with a Singer? Come on.
Well, Ramona, it depends on how you use it.
Right. Now, Ramona Singer, maybe. It may be a whole different situation. No, I'm joking.
Use it to make some sickening costumes and slay these bitches.
Imagine doing a whole fashion show flash mob in the middle of the airport just because your flight got delayed. Be like, you know what? We're gonna make use of this moment.
Girl, I would. If I had a layover that was at least more than 5 hours, I'd be whipping that out. Because I definitely had some fabric with me too that I took.
Sickening.
Right. Actually, the dress that I made for the ball challenge, it's like that, like, tiger print or whatever. I actually took the whole bolt of it. So I have an entire bolt of that fabric just in case I wanted to make something else out of it. But
amazing. Amazing. I absolutely love it. I can't wait to see the next outfit you pull out of this fabric. Like, remember it?
Right. I got to find it. I don't know where it is. There's a lot of stuff from Drag Race that I'm like, I can't remember what happened to it. There's some of my wigs that I'm like, I don't remember where I put that. I don't know what happened to it.
You just stole it and lost it. It was like, I need my revenge.
Yes. Well, I mean, as a drag queen, I'm not the most organized. So here's the thing is, like, my workshop space is very disorganized, but I know where everything is. It's that creative ADHD brain. It's, you know, I can tell you exactly where that one bobby pin in the carpet in the corner of the room is, but I couldn't tell you where my wig that I wore for my J-Lo runway is. No clue.
I think creative chaos is really like an important thing to have when you're a drag.
I think I just thrive in it. I thrive in the chaos. I just, like, it works for me. It doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me.
Yeah, like, I am kind of the exact same way. It's like, I know where that one hair clip is under the hairspray, in the box, in the corner, under the blanket, that towel. But I can't tell you the socks that I just took off when I walked in the house 10 minutes ago.
Exactly. Ask me where any of my tools are, anything creative. But God forbid you ask me where my keys are. Like,
exactly. Tell me to find my car key.
I couldn't tell you.
It's a problem. I am right there with you. What do you think was the most fulfilling part or the most rewarding part of your actual filming experience on Drag Race?
It's hard to pick because there's so many. Definitely the fans, for sure. But also, I would say the opportunities and the money.
For sure.
You know, because I was doing $30 shows before Drag Race. I didn't have anything. I didn't have any connections. I didn't know anybody. Like, I was a little small town nobody, and now it's like the whole world knows who I am. And, you know, I've got to work with amazing designers and artists that I look up to, and, you know, even other Root Girls that I've looked up to for years that, you know, we're good friends and we text. And it's the network connections, and like it's crazy, you know, because it's, you always imagine what it'll be like, but then it's always so much more than you could even dream. And I pinch myself every day that I could do this for a living, you know.
Absolutely. What's the most impactful advice you've gotten from another Root Girl, or just the most impactful conversation that you had?
Well, I've had a lot. And I really wish that I would have had these conversations before Drag Race. It would have helped me out a lot. But I remember I had a good conversation with Jinx, Jinx Monsoon. It was, I think it was before our season. It might have been before our season started airing. I can't remember. But it was before she went to All Winners. I can't exactly remember what she said verbatim, but it was like something along the lines of, you know, like she, because I was talking about like all of my issues and everything, and she said that, you know, she hasn't drank in years and people still like will make like drunk comments and stuff to her. Like, it's, you know, always gonna be, there's always gonna be people that are, you know, not the best, but you've got to focus on the ones that are good, the good ones, but also, you know, to never let that get in the way of yourself, you know, because I think sometimes it's easy to, you know, if you are your biggest critic, something that like bothers you, and then, you know, if some 12-year-old on the internet comments something along those lines or whatever, it's easy to like get irritated by that or sure. upset, you know, by like little comments. But I guess it doesn't really bother me anymore. It never really has, per se. I'd say with people that I don't know. But essentially, it's, you know, her advice to me was, you know, trust in yourself and don't let anyone change your vision.
Sure. In that thought process, do you think that doing a show like Drag Race can be kind of limiting? Because, you know, something that you said Jinx told you stuck out to me a little bit when she said that she hasn't drank in years, but they still get, you know, drunk comments from back in the day and things like that. So do you think that a situation like Drag Race can be kind of limiting to your development as an artist, to the fans? Because a lot of times fans remember you how you were on the show, and because it's not a show that you're on every single season and there's new girls coming every day, that, you know, you kind of get stuck in that moment on your season and the audience doesn't necessarily always grow with you as an artist.
I think it can. I think it can if you let it. But I think if you focus on what people think, then it absolutely can, and it absolutely will. But I mean, at least for me, the way that I see it, is I'm always looking at the next thing. I'm always looking forward, you know. So obviously, you know, watching Drag Race, people are always going to remember what they see. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity to change the narrative, so to speak, you know. And it's, I think whatever you put out after the show can really change the perspective, change the narrative, you know, because it's such a, you know, as Drag Race is such a big thing and is such a big part of my life, it's just a small piece of the puzzle, you know.
For sure.
And it's just the beginning, you know. I, like I said, I haven't been doing drag very long, and this is still very new to me, and I have so much to do and so much to learn that, you know, it's I'm always changing and I'm always growing, and there's always opportunities to go back on the show. And you know, that's the wonderful thing about All Stars and you know, these versus the world seasons, and there's always opportunities to get a redemption and change the fans' perspective.
For sure. How do you think your season stands with and stands apart from the other seasons of Drag Race in America? Because there's 3,000 other seasons outside of the U.S. and we don't have that type of time.
Well, besides the fact that it never ended.
The longest season of Drag Race in history.
For no reason. I think, well, honestly, the difference with our season is that it was chocolate. Less about the drama and more about the sisterhood, you know, because our season, we've got 5 trans contestants.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we're all really, you know, we're all close with each other. We're all cool. And it's definitely refreshing because it's, you know, everyone obviously always wants the drama. They live for the drama. But sometimes it's, you know, they want the drama, but then when they get the drama, they go apeshit, you know. So mm-hmm. I think it was a nice breath of fresh air to have this season of sisterhood, you know. And it kind of shows that it's not always about the drama. It's not always about, you know, the, you know, trying to make good TV. I think it shows that it's important to love and care for each other, you know, especially in the time that we're in, you know, when drag shows are getting banned and they're, you know, trying to get rid of rights for trans people. It's important to have these trans representations, you know, for the newer generations. As you know, it's important.
Absolutely. What has reality television taught you about people?
Ooh. That's a good question. I've always been a huge show, reality TV fan. I've actually auditioned for a few reality shows. I won't name all of them. But and I've gotten to the final castings for all of them. And Drag Race was the one that I finally got it.
Wow.
So I guess I have a good understanding of reality TV. But it's I guess as far as like people, I have definitely noticed some of my castmates, they are definitely not the same people that I saw that first day in the workroom. You know, I think being in the spotlight can definitely change people, but as far as reality TV itself, there is a lot of it that is definitely scripted, you know, and there is favoritism, and you know they're out to make good TV, obviously. But I think it's opened my eyes to, like, especially like I said earlier, watching yourself back in the third person, like, you get it. I wasn't going into Drag Race with the mindset of, oh, I'm gonna make great TV, you know. Like, I was there to, you know, because I was like, I am so excited to show off my art. So I think watching it back has changed my perception of, like, if I were to go back, how I would do it differently, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. I totally see that. You know, celebrity and fame is one of the biggest drugs there are, and
it's a game, you know. It's like you're playing a game, and more so than just the competition, it's like
the entertainment
with reality TV. Like, it's a popularity game too, you know.
Mm-hmm. 10,000,000%.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think that being on reality television taught you about yourself versus just watching it as a consumer?
Well, I think as far as drag, I wasn't thinking about, you know, like, what's my brand, who is my character when I was there. And I think now, like, looking back, it's kind of like I have a better understanding of what my drag is and who my drag is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's given me a better perception of what I want to do. I think you go onto something like Drag Race and you have this idea of, okay, I'm going to go on Drag Race, and then afterwards I'm going to do this, this, and this. And all of the things that I wanted to do after Drag Race prior to being on the show has completely changed, you know. And I think that's also part of, you know, I'm 26, I'm almost 30, and I think a lot of things have been changing for me. A lot of my perspective and a lot of my goals have been changing. So I think it was kind of just at this time in my life that's like, okay, I'm a quarter of a century old. Let me get my shit together. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So it was nice. It was like, I definitely needed Drag Race. I was not really prepared for it. And as much as I would sit there and say, you know, like, oh, I should have waited to audition. No, I got it at the time I was supposed to, you know. And that was one of the things that I learned from Drag Race was, you know, sometimes you got to do things when you're scared. You just got to, you got to go for it, because, you know, the world is going to keep spinning whether or not you are going to be present or not, you know. You are the only person that'll make opportunities happen for yourself, and you got to work hard.
That makes perfect sense. I absolutely love that perspective. What do you want your stamp on the drag industry to be?
Well, I have a lot of things I want to do. I guess I guess I'm going to let time tell. I was saying earlier, I always knew I was going to be famous for something.
Sure.
And I wasn't sure exactly what it was. I have so many things that I want to do and I know I'm going to do that I don't see my stamp being one thing in particular. I think it's going to be several things, you know.
Nice.
So I guess we'll see.
Okay, for sure. I like that answer. Now, in that line of thinking, at this point in your life, do you have an idea of how you want to be remembered as a person?
As much as I would like to say kind, I'm not always the kindest, but usually it's, if I'm not being nice to you, then it's probably for a reason. I'm not, you know, like, my thing is, be kind to everyone, but don't let people walk on all over you, and don't be afraid to put someone in their place. You know, you can still be a good person, you can still be a kind person, and still tell a bitch off.
Absolutely. Being on the debate team in high school has really taught me how to read a bitch and still not be offensive.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I did all the speech and debate classes and stuff in high school myself. But
good times. Is there anything that you would like to share with my audience and I that I didn't cover over the course of our conversation today?
I think we covered pretty much almost everything that I can think of. We've been talking for a while.
You know, I try to thread, you know, the way that I do these conversations is I try to thread the person's platform that they're coming on to talk about through their entire life. So I try to start at your childhood and figure out where, in your case, drag connects to your childhood or, you know, connects to you growing up. And then I try to weave that thread throughout your entire life into how you want to be remembered once you leave here.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Thank you. So I always try to make sure that I got every piece of your story that I can, or that you'd like to make sure that people know about you before we conclude. So I always try to ask that question just to see if I missed anything, or if there's something that I didn't see in my research or in the people that I have come on that, you know, or if you just have any final thoughts.
Well, I guess I would just say, like I said, you know, don't be afraid to be yourself. Do your thing. Don't let anyone try to change you or your art. I know that's so cliche to say, but you know, that's what's separating you from everyone else. You know, I wouldn't have gotten on Drag Race had I not been myself. You know, and I have so many people, like I said, that ask me for advice for auditioning for Drag Race. And I always just say, be yourself and be confident in who you are. And I carry that on to, you know, even people who don't do drag. Be yourself and be confident in yourself. You know?
For sure. I love that. My last question for you before I release you back into the wild is where can the people find you and all of the things that you like to promote?
All of my socials are The Orion Story. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everything. I'm gonna start posting videos on YouTube again soon. I'm starting up a series pretty soon. I haven't announced it yet, but I'm going to be at DragCon LA this year. I just secured my booth a few days ago, I think. Yeah, so I'm going to be there. Stay tuned. I got a lot of fun stuff that I've been planning and working on, so.
That is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Of course. I'm so excited to see all of the things that you have coming up, because this is literally just the beginning.
It is. And it's, you know, it's been a nice little break, but I know once I'm ready to start unleashing all of this chaos to everybody. It's if you stay tuned, it's your own fault for
I absolutely love that. Now, on that note, that has been our show, children. I appreciate every single one of you guys for tuning in to help me to facilitate this conversation. And I want to extend an extra special thank you to my guest, Orion Story, for blessing the podcast today. Thank you so, so, so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. Talking shit with you.
I appreciate it. Come back anytime. Thank you for trusting me with your story. It was incredible. We had a much more impactful conversation about drag that I didn't expect to have today, but I genuinely did. I absolutely love going deeper. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Come back anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to come back whenever.
Of course, when you finally drop the Rue Girl single, when you go on tour, come tell me how DragCon was, or if you want to just shoot the shit, let me know.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Of course.
I always love talking shit.
Same. So I will always be here. Now, with that being said, I want to remind all of you guys out there listening to be real, stay in reality, and always, always bring the realness. I am Brian K. James. This has been Real Reality Realness. And until next time, I love every single one of you guys from the bottom of my green heart emoji. Keep the mess in the message, be useful but not used, and misbehave yourselves. Peace.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Bye, guys.
What's going on, everybody? Brian K. James here, and I'm so excited to let you know that this podcast is being brought to you in part by Outlander Media Network. Outlander's mission is to bring you the most exclusive alternative content from across the web, from the farthest reaches invading your space. We appreciate every single one of you guys for tuning in and never want you to forget to embrace your inner Outlander. I am Brian K. James, and this is Real Reality Realness.